Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, psychologist and neuroscientist, Dr. Barbara Minton.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Peppino D'Agostino. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I'm excited about our conversation today, and originally I was excited about sharing information in a way as if I was going to be sharing information that was new and music that is new. And we got music that is new for sure, but the information, which is very important, is not new. And the reason I was thinking about it as if it were new is because we don't talk about it enough. And most people that I know and that I talk to, well, my group of friends and maybe, but everybody else seems to think that this doesn't even exist. And it's time that we get it. Not only does it exist, it's actually used, it's, and potentially even used against us. And we might want to know. So I have to say, as a child, maybe I was intuitive, maybe I was sensitive, but I remember at the family table when somebody would choose the music to play on the stereo, I would complain about the music almost invariably. If somebody chose opera because it's Italian and we like it, but it's scenes where somebody's dying or somebody's killing somebody, it would affect me while I was eating. I found no enjoyment eating with opera going on in the background, especially when somebody was dying or being killed. And I used to complain. And so with opera, it's a double whammy because it's the words that I understood and the music, of course. Or if somebody would play happy music or lighthearted or dance music that would be upbeat or too fast, it would make me feel like I was eating too fast. And then as I grew up, I learned in marketing classes that this information is known. This is used. Restaurateurs, those who know that if they want to turn their tables and have more people coming through their restaurants, eating and leaving, they'll play fast-paced, upbeat music. And if they want people to enjoy a leisurely long dinner, like at these romantic French places where people spend more money and have dessert and all that, another glass of wine, they'll play slow music. We know this. And that's just pretty much talking about the words and the speed. What about the frequency? And, you know, just last night before the show, I saw a social media post of a man who won the Guinness Book of World Records for a tomato that grew over 4 pounds, I think it was. And this man played music for his tomatoes. That's the good news. And the bad news was that the post was recent, but it was of a BBC interview done in the 70s. And so in the 70s, and the caption actually said, "They laughed at him then, and people are still laughing." In other words, we still haven't taken this information in. And what's important to me is not that we haven't taken it in, but also the fact that if we haven't taken it in, what else are we missing going forward that we can't get there because we haven't gotten here? But we're here, and I can't wait to have this conversation and further it with our guests.
We are here, and boy, this is a conversation you and I have been having often, or should I say frequently. The power of words, the baseline of what life has been and what has been resonating as normal, and then the deeper aspects of, you know, learning vibrational definition of love and other emotions from those that gave us different vibrations, and then recreating that or finding that in our songs, our music, or our television or videos or whatnot.
Yeah.
So such a powerful awareness that we're starting to step into to be able to recreate a whole new world.
And in this case, for today's episode, we have musicians. And in the case of our interview guest, she is a psychologist. She's a neuroscientist. So we're it's not just, oh, listen and feel the music. Like, there's data behind what it does and how it affects us.
Absolutely. The when I say the awareness, you know, the deeper research of what people started to talk about is now actually provable. I'm really, really excited to learn more of how that is and what we can build on.
And the project they both created together, Calm the Storm, like, this is the time for calm during the storms that we've been having. So without further ado, this is our episode 857 titled Music Informed by Neurobiological Research for Optimal Healing. And we have our interview guest, trailblazing psychologist, musician, diplomative, quantitative, EEG neuroscientist, Dr. Barbara Minton. And as a performance guest, but also will be part of the conversation, a renowned Italian-born guitarist, composer, musician, Peppino D'Agostino. Welcome, Dr. Barbara Minton and Peppino D'Agostino, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. It's just thrilling to be here.
It's great to have
you. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you both here. And Peppino, I know there's a lag because you're in the mother country, and so from Italy right now. And it's great to have you both at the same time. So, Barbara.
Thank you.
Grazie, prego. Barbara, let's start with with you. And first of all, how did the two of you connect in this project before we get deep into it?
You know, a few years back, I got really excited about learning percussive fingerstyle guitar, which is the kind of guitar that Peppino plays. And we met online. I actually found him online. I was looking for a guitar instructor. And so he's actually my guitar teacher.
Oh.
And so then when I got interested in doing this project, he was the natural person to work with. And I was so thrilled when he, you know, was willing to go down this path with me.
So you were.
That's true. Yeah.
Peppino, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's exactly how that happened. And then things develop. You can go ahead and explain, Barbara.
Yes, actually. So what exactly did develop and what came first? Your understanding or study of this field, or your effects with the music and learning guitar, et cetera?
Well, years ago, I was a music major before I changed to psychology. And what happened was... about 4 years ago, I was contacted by a colleague who knew I had a musical background, and he said, I'm editing this book with the really appealing title called Neurofeedback and Quantitative Electroencephalogram. You know, would you write this chapter on music and neuromodulation, music in the brain? And I said, yes, I'll do it. And I hadn't actually looked at this literature, and I found your introduction so fascinating because you're exactly right. I read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these articles, and it was so striking for me because music helped people learn, music helped people before operations, music helped premature babies, music helped the immune system activate. I mean, I can go on and on with examples of this. And there's years and years of this research. I started immersing myself in it. And I was thinking, why is this not out in the real world? Why are we not using music in schools? Why is not music in all hospitals? And I became very passionate about getting that out. And then I started thinking, you know, I can actually image the brain, so I'm an expert in kind of functional electroencephalogram, which is the energy that comes out of your brain from your cells and your brain firing. And can we write, if just regular music, certain types of regular music do something, can we actually write more curated music that will help the brain move into specific states? And so that's what started the whole thing off.
Mm. Pepino, it's interesting. We had Alessandra Belloni on, and I don't remember if she said it on the show or to me outside of the show, but she said, Filippo, your heritage is the land of where music was used as medicine, but we have since forgotten even there. What is your Italian or Sicilian upbringing connected to any of this? Did you resonate right away when Barbara brought this to the conversation?
Yeah, you know, it's of course, you know, we all know that music has been a healing power since the dawn of man. I mean, it's been used in funeral, weddings, all kinds of, you know, functions. But personally, I experienced that when I play in hospitals or I play for people that were dying. And you know, of course, you know, I don't do that very often. You know, I'm a touring musician and I play for regular audiences. But you know, I've been also involved in playing music for people that were suffering or dying, and you know, I experienced myself directly how, you know, comforting is music. So when Barbara talked to me about this, the exciting thing was that it, now we're able to quantize this. And so of course I was very interested in this because, you know, music, you can't touch, you can't, it's invisible, but it's powerful, but now you can see it actually. So that's the exciting aspect of, working with Barbara. And, you know, I also was curious about, the sound of the classical guitar with the pipe organ that she plays. I really didn't ever thought about combining these two sounds. And it's actually, it's just by listening to this, I feel relaxed myself. Typically, I don't listen to my CDs ever, but this one I listen to because it's really relaxing. It relaxes me, which is unusual.
Wow. How exciting. So whose idea? Well, obviously, Barbara, you play the guitar now, but the pipe organ, I think it's one of the most interesting things. The guitar is one of the most mobile instruments where one can take it anywhere and fly with it, etc. And maybe the pipe organ, the most immobile instrument in the world.
Yeah. Yes, it's kind of hard to put in your back pocket and carry along with you. So every place I go, I have to find a pipe organ and then beg people, will you please let me come in and play your pipe organ? Yeah. But the beautiful thing about the pipe organ, and it's definitely not the trendiest instrument right now, but it has a huge range of frequencies. It has the widest range of frequencies of any instrument we have. So it can play very high and it can play very low. Even some pipe organs have pedals where the sound will go below hearing. So you can feel the sound, but you cannot hear the sound. And because of that, it's such a great instrument to have this sort of huge resonant sound of the pipe organ behind this warm, intimate sound of the guitar. And we just had, you know, so much fun. And it's been so exciting to think about how these two instruments can be used together.
So along with the instruments being used together, so we'll have Pepino talk a little bit about the composition in a little bit, but it's music. So we're listening to music. Inherent in the music, there is so much else that's been put into it or created around it. What is different about this particular music, which we're going to hear in a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, so the brain, I have to say a little bit about the brain. The brain is very interesting because when it detects music, it likes to recreate the same pattern that the music is putting in. So it actually starts to echo the frequencies that the music put in. So we look at things that you actually talked about. Tempo is one of them, right? So when you play something really fast, it gets people activated. So we always want to pay attention to tempo. And then there are many other variables that we haven't thought about as much, maybe. So frequency, like, do you want a low frequency or a high frequency? So when that operatic singer sings way up high, it affects your brain and therefore your emotions in a different way than when someone sings a bass note. So you want to also look at frequency because your brain will take that in too. And then we want to look at phrasing. Are we, you know, when sort of phrasing in music, it would be like a sentence in English. Where do you stop and start a certain kind of set of notes in music? So we look at that. And we also look at whether we're in a major key or a minor key. How are we starting and closing the phrase? So there's all these variables like that. I don't know which one's working and which one isn't because we just threw them all together to see if we could get an effect. And still, I was doing some analyses yesterday and it's just, holy cow, it's mind-blowing to me to see the changes because I can... We had volunteers come in and I can image the brain before they listen to the music and then at the end of the music. And to see the changes is just incredibly striking.
Mm. Barbara, this is so cool.
You know, I wish I could show the pictures because they're just, oh my gosh, they're just so striking. And I, you know, Pepino was so great to work with and I do want to say this, and when he gets back on, we'll talk about it. You know, it's not every musician that when I would sit there and say, oh, we can't use that note because it's too high, or we can't, you know, let's like end the phrase this way, not that way. And he was so wonderful to work with. And I think I also wanted music that would just be good to listen to on its own so people would listen to it. And he brings that capacity to the table. And so it was just such a beautiful marrying of science and art with him. And, you know, I think it was kind of nerve-wracking for both of us the first time we did this, which I hope he'll get back on so he can talk about a little bit. But yeah, it's super cool stuff. And seeing these maps, if you get on my LinkedIn or Facebook page, I try to post some on there. They're really, really striking.
Wonderful. Well, actually, let's hear the first piece that we're going to hear today. And is there anything you'd like to share about Beauty in the Abyss?
You know, what I really like about this piece, no, actually, I don't think I should say anything. Let's let it stand on its own and we'll talk about it afterwards. Let's just let everyone's brain take it in the way it wants to.
Okay. Well, then here is Dr. Barbara Minton and Pepino D'Agostino's Calm the Storm project. The first piece we're going to get to hear today on the episode is Beauty and the Abyss, of course, pre-recorded and aired here on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you.
there it was, Beauty in the Abyss. Barbara, I know what I felt. What did you hope we felt?
Well, I think Peppino can talk about this piece too, and I think he'll have some great observations. The thing I really love about this piece is it has a beautiful, it acknowledges that there's some sort of pain in life. It has some sections that go into a minor key, and then it resolves in this beautiful, calming, kind of sweet way. And to me, it's just sort of a reflection of how life is. And yet, in the end, there's such comfort and warmth in this piece.
Peppino, you and Beauty in the Abyss.
You know, for me is when I listen to this album, Barbara told me that I needed to create melodies that could engage the brain. Because if you play bland music that you can hear on many apps, there's no real melodies, basically, you know, pads of sounds. So it's always, when I think about the idea, you know, just the magic of creating melodies, you know, I think about the fact that, you know, you really don't need theoretical knowledge. You know, some of the most beautiful melodies has been written by people that didn't know anything about theory or writing music, or it's just something that has to do, I came to believe after so many years of composing, that has to do with your life as a human being, really. Your experience as a human being in a way guide you to write certain kind of melodies. The music that I listen to throughout my life is basically the ground where my subconscious goes when I had to, you know, when I write my music and melodies specifically for this album, you know. So when I listen to Beauty in the Abyss, I like it. That's all I have to say. I like it. It's very melodic. And, you know, to me, it's like, yeah, there are certain melodies that I like more than others. This one, it's really, I think I found it, yeah, comforting, and I'm pleased with that melody.
You know, one thing I'd just like to remark about this is that one of the very important things, and Peppino just alluded to this, is that we wanted the music to be able to stand on its own, so that this is something you just want to listen to because the melodies and the songs are beautiful in and of themselves. And then it's easy to want to listen over and over and over because they're just so lovely and beautiful. And Peppino just did such a incredibly masterful job at the compositions here. And he was just so kind about accommodating the neuroscience aspect to it. But it's the music itself that is so powerful. It's the message that comes through the music that is so incredibly, people have said it's just soul changing music. You know, some of the comments we've gotten, they're beautiful.
We'll talk about actually some of the comments in just a moment. So Barbara, what came to mind as you were talking about this is for example, a mother singing a lullaby to a child, that the child doesn't know the frequency of the mother's love coming through the song, or whether the song is in pitch necessarily or not, but the child is soothed. So, right, it doesn't know the science behind it.
Yeah, and you don't have to know the science behind it to be affected. This is why we've played music for many, many years. I think what we've been trying to do is to use the science behind it to make the music even more powerful so that you can use it to optimize your life situation. So if you're in chronic pain, so for example, I can image the chronic pain network and the insomnia network, and we can compose these songs to actually make those networks normalize then you can start using the music in a very intentional way. And you would use different music if you wanted to focus, right, or to, you know, improve your golf game or whatever it is, jog faster.
It seems that we have so much music available in the world, and some of it already can serve this purpose. Here you have it all compacted in a CD for calming, at least calm the storm. And let's give out the website where people can find it, first of all.
Yes, so our website is Music and Healing, MusicandHealing.net, net. And the music is there, and you can play samples of the songs. And I've actually posted some of the brain imaging, pre and post brain imaging on some of the songs too, so you can look at those, which are really fun to see.
So nice. So what seems to me one of the things is somebody could buy the music and enjoy it or be calmed by it, etc. But it also gives actual medical doctors or psychologists or psychotherapists an opportunity to say, here, take this or use this or let's do this, because the science is there and they can feel comfortable prescribing that, so to speak, right?
Well, I'm going to say,
not yet.
Kind of.
Oh, no.
These are not FDA approved treatments. You know, I just have volunteers coming in. So this would be called case study data. So we don't have, you know, controlled studies in many different places all over the country with hundreds and hundreds of people. So we don't want to make too many claims. But I think the important thing is that we do have some data on some brains, and for you to listen to these songs and see what they do for you. We've designed them based on neuroscience, what the effect will be on you. You know, that's for you to listen and see. If you like them and they're helpful, that's great. If they're not helpful, move on.
Okay, so what are a couple of the case experiences?
So, you know, one of the most striking ones that I've had recently is with someone who's had severe trauma for many, many, many years. And I actually asked them to listen to this through the whole album 3 times a day. And they hadn't slept in years. They hadn't had good sleep in years, and they started to sleep. And if you haven't had good sleep in years and you start to sleep, as a matter of fact, every time they started listening to the album, they couldn't stay awake after a while because they were so exhausted. But that music helped that kind of activation network that gets so stuck in a lot of PTSD and trauma. It just helped it calm down. And so, you know, when you have someone tell you something like that, for me, that just meant everything.
Okay, well, we're going to hear Cool Breeze from the album, Calm the Storm. Anything you want to share about that before we hear it?
Yeah, Peppino, you probably want to say something about that.
Yeah, this is, it's the piece that probably the most upbeat in the album. It's a bossa nova and quite sweet, but definitely it's an upbeat compared to others as far as speed and the just the feeling. You know, I listen to this and I feel like I want to go back to Rio de Janeiro. I will. Cool Breeze. The embryonic idea started there. I was in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, that's great.
It's very much kind of a Latin kind of a feel, you know, bossa nova.
Well, I want to go back to Rio de Janeiro. I want to go. I've never been. So here is, let's all go together. Let's hear Dr. Barbara Minton and Peppino D'Agostino's Calm the Storm project, and this particular track, Cool Breeze, obviously pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show. Okay. Well, I want to remind everybody that the music can be found at Music and Healing, Music and Healing, just as it sounds, .net, correct?
Correct.
And hopefully you will also hear it and find it many other places soon. So this is exciting. So, Pepino, I have to ask you, you have worked for many years composing and composing for many artists, with many artists, different styles of music. And I have to think, if we were born in a different time, we would have composed and performed that kind of music. And if we're born in the future, we would perform a different kind. In this moment right now, there are obviously many different genres. This is a genre that feels like is wanting to be had or needing to be had or done or composed and performed and played.
Are you referring to the music of this album?
Yes. In comparison to all the music that's possible, this feels like in this moment, this is wanted very much, needed.
Well, you know, as I said in the very beginning of the show, music is healing. And I was surprised because we did a live performance in Boise, and we performed with the album in its entirety with in a church. It was a pipe organ, a very beautiful pipe organ, and my guitar. And you know, actually, the show started with me playing my music, which is kind of upbeat and kind of virtuosistic kind of music, because I'm a geek. I love technique and all of that. But then I play for about 20 minutes, and then Barbara introduced, you know, the evening, and so we actually asked the audience not to applaud, but just to listen until the end of the set. So we played the entire album. And it was interesting to me that at the end of each composition played on pipe organ and classical guitar, people, they were not clapping because we asked them not to do it, but it was weird for me. And then as I was playing, it was interesting for me to see people, most people had their eyes closed. And after certain songs, I noticed, you know, that certain people actually had tears in their eyes, which is, it was kind of remarkable. And I think it's the sound of the two instruments and these melodies. So, yes, I think people need this. You know, we need to feel touched by music, and melodic music is pretty powerful, and the sound of the two instruments together is pretty powerful. So yeah, I think it's relevant today to have a project like this. You know, I'm involved, I play jazz, I play classical, I play rock, but this is different. This is there's something that I think that touches the soul in a way that is unique. And I experienced that there in Boise. And I hope we can do more of those workshop retreats together, me and Barbara.
It feels like it. And actually, in a moment, Pepino, I was going to ask you about the workshop retreats. And before we do that, Barbara, I was going to ask you, how are you using it? You alluded to that. You shared with somebody in the sleep. How are you using it, or how do you feel others can use it in their practices, not just people at home?
Yes, so I have a workshop I just love doing. It's called Music, the Brain, and Healing. And we often do this oriented towards mental health professionals. And it's bigger than this album. So this album is one type of music that you can use to help people heal, but there are other types of music you can also help people heal. And what's interesting is in the mental health profession, so that would be like counselors, social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists, other people in this area, we don't get trained in using music very well as an intervention. But what's interesting, for just as an example, for depression, certain music playlists reduce depression by 60%. That's huge, and that's way more than what a medication will generally do out the box. So why are we not all using this in our practices? And part of it is because we become so narrowly trained that we don't learn this. And so this one workshop is where we go through and talk about, what type of music would you use for what type of disorder? What does the research say? Hopefully Peppino can come, and I like to have a live musician there actually playing this type of music. And so it's a very practical sort of approach. And so I would hope that in the mental health profession, music would become more integrated.
Barbara and Peppino, is it a crazy thought that I just had that stadiums full of people can come here, the two of you perform, if you can get the pipe organ there? Otherwise, finding a stadium that has the pipe organ where everybody could stay silent throughout the whole time and experience what you do. And that potentially it's not so crazy if we think this could be like meditation, it could be like church in a musical way.
Yeah, I think we're ready, right, Peppino?
Yeah, it's funny because I just went to see, I collaborated with a rock star here in Italy, and I went to see them in a stadium. And of course, it was rock music, very loud, and the audience, his name is Vasco Rossi, he's a big star here in Italy. And people were singing the songs. It was amazing to hear 60,000 people singing that. But then just to go back to what you were saying, I don't know. It would be quite interesting to be in a stadium with 60,000 people completely quiet and silent, and just with their eyes closed, and for an hour, and then. And then exploding in a big applause because we
Right.
touched them,
Right.
I can't, I can't really picture that, but people need music, especially music that heal. There's so much going on today. So much, you turn on the news and it's so so negative. Music is very important today, especially music that is designed to help people. And so that's I don't know if we'll ever play this in a stadium with a pipe organ and one guitar. I don't know, but definitely, definitely the what we did in Boise was powerful. And so it was. I don't know how many people were there. It was a small audience, maybe 50 people. But these 50 people, I think they were, I don't think that they will forget that experience.
I actually had people email me after that, just saying that for some of them it was a life-changing experience. And one person came up afterwards and said their pain went away. Now, I don't know if that's a placebo effect, if it was the music, if whatever it was. In a way, I don't care. I'm just glad they had a positive experience. But coming back to your issue about having many people together, there's some really interesting research about how when one person calms down and sort of all their own frequencies within their body become synchronized, that the person next to them and the person next to them, even if there's a door closed between them, will start to synchronize to that person's synchronization. And so being in groups is very, very powerful, especially if you have someone that has sort of a healing capacity to them. And we've all experienced this, right? Like we get around certain people and they just make us feel better. So, I think there's so many very powerful things about groups going into healing states together, and that's what's so beautiful about live concerts.
Or people buying the music and inviting their friends to sit still for a half hour and listen together. And
Yes, exactly right.
well,
Well, and what I wonder what your experience would have been as a kid if this music would have been played while you were eating.
that's an interesting question. And since we're talking about groups, let's continue that for just a little bit more. Peppino, your workshop that you're actually getting ready to do there, and hopefully more people get to experience in the States. Tell us about that as well.
Well, I started 10 years ago. I've been lucky to tour and play with some of the top players in the world. And these, we became friends. I became friends with a lot of them. And so when 10 years ago, I decided to organize music retreats, I started in Benicia, California. And then we did it in the Amalfi Coast here. Which is a beautiful area in Italy near Naples. And then last year we started in Umbria, which is close to Tuscany, and also Sicily. 3 years ago we started Sicily. We're gonna probably try also Asia next year. So basically, these retreats are an occasion for the students to work with some of the top players in the world in different instruments. So, for instance, next week we'll have Mike Marshall and Katharina Lichtenberg. These two are they will teach, bluegrass, but also classical music, Brazilian music, jazz, on the mandolin. So imagine 30 people coming and playing the mandolin all together, which is another, healing experience, Plus, we're going to eat Sicilian food and amazing food here and great, great wine and all of that. So these retreats are very special. The next week, for the first time, we're having a banjo player, Tony Trischka. He is the one that taught banjo to Bela Fleck, who arguably is the most well-known banjo player in the world. So, so we do this, and so it's a joy for me to organize these. And sometimes I teach. In fact, I'll be teaching in California, October 10 through 12, with a Grammy winner, Jason Vieux, classical guitarist. So it will be a classical guitar and fingerstyle workshop. So in a nutshell, that's one of the many things that I do.
And tell us how we can learn more about those.
Oh yeah, so the just go on the website is musicworldretreats.com.
Musicworldretreat.com. And is that
With
also
an S at the end,
a
it's actually
retreats?
musicworldretreats with an S at the end, .com, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll have that on our website. If you look up Peppino D'Agostino on the Life Changes show, we'll also have it there. And Barbara, best link for you, it would be actually where the CD is, right? Musicandhealing.net.
Yes, I also have a barbminton.com, but probably musicandhealing.net's the easiest one.
Okay, well, speaking of easy, we're going to hear a piece that you all composed, Simple Grace. I don't know, Simple Grace. I think that's an interesting title to begin with. Would it be so? Anything you wanted to share about that, either one of you?
Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, I just think this is just a sweet, beautiful, kind, lyrical piece. So just let people enjoy.
Okay, we're going to enjoy from the album Calm the Storm of our guest, Dr. Barbara Minton and Peppino D'Agostino. This is the piece Simple Grace, pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you.
And with that, we are coming towards the close of our wonderful time and experience with our guests. Again, musicandhealing.net is where you can get the album and learn more about both of our guests. And we also have Pepino. Could you remind us of your links or website pages?
Yes, sure, sure. So my website is pepinodagostino.com, pepinodagostino.com. And then my retreats are musicworldretreats.com, musicretreats.com, musicworldretreats.
Wonderful.
I forget the world. So let me do that again. musicworldretreats.
Breaking up, unfortunately, but it musicworldretreats with an S.com, right?
Correct. Thank you, Filippo.
Okay.
Yeah, and mine is just Barb Minton, no Barbara.
Oh,
there's another Barbara Minton, so I couldn't get that one.
But okay. Well,
but musicandhealing.net's the best one.
For sure. What a pleasure connecting with the two of you and the two of you together. What an exciting, the journey has already been exciting, I'm sure, for the two of you in creating this, but may there be much more happening, and may the two of you become the quote unquote rock stars of the stadium together going in the future. In the meantime, anything else the two of you would like to add before we close, either about the project or music in general?
Well, I always just am so grateful, and I just want to express that to Pepino again for the work that he's done with me, and then also that we are working on another album too.
Oh.
That's oriented towards PTSD, and so hopefully that'll be out in the next year. So we compose, and then I collect data, and then we have to go back to the drawing board. So it's a bit of a process, but I just so appreciate his skill and commitment and, you know, willingness to do this.
And I'd like to express my gratitude to Barbara for also, you know, guiding me through the process of composing, because I usually compose by myself. But, you know, to create Calm the Storm, she was in the room with me, and she was guiding me with her expertise, you know, to really create the music that was, you know, more appropriate for the project. So it was quite an experience, and I'm looking forward to our next album together. Also, Barbara, you're a very nice person, and I enjoy your company and sharing music with you.
Oh, thank you.
Ah, well, obviously this is reflected in the music. So I encourage everyone to go and check out Calm the Storm by our guests and interview guests. Thank you both for sharing your experience with us, and we look forward to more. I so enjoyed that. I love music to begin with, but to get to talk about all these added elements to the conversation, which is always been there. It's coming out thanks to this conversation.
We're so lucky to have and blessed to have the guests that we've been able to attract and share the conversation with. And I love that we're having more and more of these conversations, because as you said, you know, the fundamentals of vibration have always been there, and the ancients knew it, and the ancient instrumentation and the ancient sound bowls and the you know, the lore around bells and frequency and wellness. And so everything's kind of pointing back, you know, it's like coming full circle to the science capturing the truth of what's really going on and how we can, you know, embody those frequencies more, you know, from a whole perspective.
You know, for a moment I had a visual of a little boy or girl, but holding a guitar and playing music, and the parents saying something like, you know, go, you should get a job or something, and not knowing what is actually happening in that moment where that could be their job.
Well, now they should say, you should get a job as a music doctor.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually, that's what they do.
And as if they weren't cool enough, but to reference Bella Fleck, that took them to a whole nother level for me.
I know. And how cool. Anyway, so with that, it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Marianne, and I have been having even more difficulties with my parents than ever before. I was talking to a good friend about my challenges, and she told me that she believes we choose our parents and that we write our life stories. Do you believe that this is true? And if so, why would our relationships be miserable? It gets so bad so often that I cannot imagine that I chose these people to be my mother and father. Why wouldn't I choose loving souls? Why wouldn't I write a happier life story?
Dear Marianne, I do believe that we all come from the light and that love is all there is. I believe that we are the author of our life stories and that we do choose our parents. I believe that before birth, our souls choose the circumstances of our life, including our parents, family, and environment, as part of our soul's journey of growth and learning. I believe our parents are chosen for the lessons, challenges, and love they bring, and the gifts lie in what we do with the life we've chosen. My belief is that the relationship with our parents can be seen as an invitation to grow in understanding, forgiveness, and strength. Our parents help shape our earliest experiences, attachment patterns, and beliefs, and later in life, I believe we find ourselves unconsciously drawn to people or situations that mirror those childhood dynamics, almost as if we are trying to resolve unfinished business. I know that my parents influenced, helped shape the choices I made throughout most of my life. I feel that I chose my parents to help me grow through love, lessons, and challenges. And even though my childhood and young adulthood were not a lot of fun, I would not be the person I am today and would not be able to assist others in loving and forgiving themselves and their parents for their less than elegant choices. Marianne, I lovingly suggest that you go online and look up Neil Donald Walsh's story titled The Little Soul and the Sun, as it explains very clearly what I believe is true about our choices at the light. I trust that once you understand that you have written your story, you can then choose to write a new chapter that leads you to love, peace, and joy. This is what I've done, and I now love my life and am extremely grateful for all of my life experiences, the good and the bad, because they helped me grow into the happy life I now live.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question about your little soul in the sun, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And that is our show. We are so grateful to have had our performance guest Peppino D'Agostino on, and of course our interview guest, Dr. Barbara Minton. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, on behalf of our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.